As children go to children's church, if you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1. We're going to read verses 12 to 14, and then I'm going to read from Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 6. A very familiar verse. First, Acts, chapter 1. This is immediately after Jesus has ascended into heaven and given his followers a commission. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John, and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. And in Proverbs 22:6, my translation reads, "Train children in the right way, and when old, they will not stray." Or train up the child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The early followers of Jesus provide us with a pattern or a model for spiritual growth, within ourselves, and for effective service for God and others outside of ourselves as witnesses. April sang a moment ago about willing and wishing dreams, and that those dreams would help you find your wings. Well, that's what Jesus said to his followers, not only on this occasion, but on many others. And that's what the writer of Proverbs is really saying in the verse I read a few moments ago. It's not just a proverb that says, if you do this, then such and such will happen. Because we all know, in the reality of the world, sometimes we do the very best we can, and we wish those dreams and those hopes, and we pray for them constantly. But our children, our grandchildren, our friends, other family members sometimes make decisions other than what we would dream and pray for. But that does not keep us from continuing to pray, or the call to pray. And I'll come back in a few moments to that verse in Proverbs, but I think it's not just a proverb as a formula. I think it is a proverb as a prayer. That when we train our children in the right way, our prayer is that they will not depart from the way we have trained them and from the dreams and the hopes that we give to them. That they will truly be witnesses to goodness in life. And the goodness that we try to give them. When Jesus commissioned his followers, men and women, here at his ascension into heaven, he tells them to go into the city and to wait and to pray until the Spirit comes with power. The Spirit, of course, is represented oftentimes in biblical literature as what? A dove. A dove with wings that lift it up and carry it forth. And we talk about the Spirit and how it uplifts us. That helps us find our wings to go even beyond. To be witnesses through our lives and through and in our prayers. But we can only do that when we experience something. You can only be a true witness to something that you have experienced. whether you're watching an accident happen, or whether you are performing in an athletic event, you can only witness to the good if you've experienced it, or to the bad if you've experienced it. And it is the same thing in family life, in church life, in the lives of Christians. We witness to what we experience. And those things are not always good times. They're not always bad times. Sometimes they're ordinary, everyday, mundane times. And yet, as Jesus commissioned the church to pray, individually and corporately, Jesus was calling on them to find those wings that He had given them, to share those experiences that they had and would have. The early disciples faced troubles, and they also knew opportunities of prayer, opportunities to combine with the Spirit in prayer and to live out the dreams that Jesus had for them. To them, prayer was a weapon to conquer fear. To conquer fear, their own fears and the fears of others. Prayer was a means, a road, a way for them to experience good and victory within their lives. It was a link between heaven and earth, and actually, as they prayed for each other, family and friends, it was a link between the one who was praying and the ones for whom they prayed. It was an experience that produced transformation, that helped them to find those dreams and to be transformed from secular living to spiritual living. We've said before that for Jewish writers and for those within Judaism, and it carries over into the early Christian church, there is really no secular and sacred when it comes to life and comes to days, for all are under the watch care of God. All days, all dreams, all hopes are in the auspices of God. Prayer allows us to fellowship, not just with each other, but with the living God, and to have continuous companionship with God. Now, that doesn't mean that we sit around on a mountaintop somewhere looking at our navel and going, "Om, Om." But that means that we live our lives and live those dreams in an attitude of reverence and respect and communion with God. A communion that also carries forth to those around us. In fact, for the disciples, prayer was at the top of the agenda each and every day. And I don't know if you paid attention or not, but when we read in Acts chapter 1, we don't just find friends praying for friends and with friends. We find family members. Peter and Andrew, James and John, brothers, sons of thunder, as Zebedee means. We find Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Jesus' brothers, and others that were like family, praying together with each other and for each other, and sharing in this time, sharing the dream that Jesus has just given them, and the hope that they can fulfill that dream Now, they had learned that agenda of praying from Jesus himself. They had learned it from Jesus, for whom prayer was extremely important, not just at the beginning of the day or at the end of the day, but even at other points during the day. And if you really think about it, most of the prayers that we find Jesus praying or sharing, or most of the events around which he prays and shares, are not for himself, but for those family members and friends around him, for whom he had such hopes, for whom he felt the love of family. The love of family. We find that for this early church, prayer was an act of obedience that prepared them for their task, that gave them the proper mental attitude and emotional stability. Though sometimes it would bring a tear. Sometimes it would bring a laugh. Sometimes it would bring fear. They still knew that that prayer together and for each other would bring them the type of attitude they needed to work together to accomplish those dreams and those hopes. The hopes and the dreams of a worldwide Christian peace. The hopes and the dreams of spiritual power from God. Not so that they could go around and pop somebody on the forehead and say, "Be healed," and see if they fell back or not. But spiritual power from God so that they could live and help others live the dreams that were held for them. They believed that God responded to that prayer and that God could respond and change circumstances regardless of what they were. That God could change people, even those that weren't like them or that maybe they didn't particularly like, and that God could change them into something they only hoped and dreamed to be. This prayer was both private and public. It was appropriate for all occasions. And in their prayers, they offered thanksgiving. They prayed prayers of blessings. They prayed prayers for courage. Courage to live the dream that Christ would have them to live. Courage to share Christ and the love that had been given to them with others. Courage to face crises, knowing that together with God and each other, greater things could be accomplished than any of them could dream to accomplish by themselves. They prayed for those who ministered to the unfortunate as well as the fortunate. You know, because a lot of times we think, oh, we should pray for the poor and the helpless. And that is true. Jesus spent a lot of time praying for and ministering with the poor and the helpless, but the poor and the helpless are not the only ones that need prayer. In fact, sometimes we who seem to be the most religious and righteous are in more need of prayer than some of the poor and the helpless. Because sometimes we forget the dreams. We forget the hopes. We lose sight of them because we're afraid to really look deep down inside and to recapture that to which we are called. They prayed for those that God led to new places of service. They prayed for those who served in far-off lands or right next door. They prayed for their family. They prayed for their friends. Sometimes they prayed in song. Patches, I'm depending on you, son, to see the family through. A few of y'all might remember that song from some time past. The prayers of a family member for a son who was going to have to take on not only his hopes and dreams, but the hopes and the dreams that could not be fulfilled by his own father, but the hopes and the dreams that were still just as real. The hopes and the dreams that that parent had prayed and tried to instill in the child. Training that child in the right ways, not just spiritually, but emotionally and physically as well. And then praying and hoping that when they got older, they would not depart from them, but would continue to carry those hopes and dreams, finding their wings and helping others to find them as well. Sometimes we find those things in family. Sometimes we witness that which we experience, not just in Christ, but through the home and in the home. And that experience qualifies us as a witness in life, but also a witness to life lived in prayer. In prayers like April sang about a few moments ago. Those prayers that not only will our children, our mothers, our fathers, our brothers, our sisters, and our friends who are like family will fulfill and find, but also that we too will be lifted up with those wings to fulfill God's dreams and God's hopes for us. As I said, sometimes that is found in homes and in families. But sometimes it has to be found other places as well. And sometimes you and I are the predominant positive influence. We are the ones who still have the hopes and the dreams when perhaps a parent or a brother or a sister has lost the hopes and the dreams. And we, Christian workers, or should I say Christians, because to be a Christian carries with it the demand to work. We are the positive influence. We are the ones that share hopes and dreams. As we whisper prayers, as we sing prayers, as we fall on our knees and pray prayers, sometimes even in desperation, that the hopes, the dreams that we have can be fulfilled. Whisper a prayer in the morning, whisper a prayer at noon, whisper a prayer in the evening. Keep your heart in tune. That comes from an old African-American hymn that speaks of the importance of praying to keep one's heart and one's family and one's dreams in tune. Training up the child that is within us, that never leaves us, that always needs to learn. Last night, registration and eating for Vacation Bible School. Of course, eating and Baptist, that's kind of, you know, that's almost an oxymoron. Or no, a conundrum. Yeah, that's, those things go together. The Vacation Bible School registration began last evening. Vacation Bible School will continue for the next few evenings. But our hope and our dream, I hope, is not that Vacation Bible School will last for a few nights and then we can go back to our normal routines. My hope and dream is that our hopes and dreams include all of those children and workers and even the parents and the brothers and the sisters of those who go home after having been here will live the hopes, the dreams that not only God has for them, but that we also feel and hope for them. If you, in any way, shape, or form, are participating in Vacation Bible School, whether it's teaching a class, doing crafts, doing music, directing, fixing the sandwiches, getting the ice, cleaning up and tossing out the trash. If you would please stand. Don't be bashful. If you're having anything at all to do with Vacation Bible School, would you please stand? Playing the games, even. Helping somebody else. You don't have to be the teacher, you can be the helper. I know there are more of you. In fact, I know a couple of you are helping at least one night, but you're not standing up. That's okay, we're going to pray for you too. Keep standing. I don't want you to sit down yet. I could make you sit and stand, get your exercise in. But I want us to take a moment, because I know that you have hopes and dreams for those who will come your way this week. I know you have hopes and dreams for your own family members and your own friends. I know that you have hopes and dreams even for yourselves. And so I want us to take just a moment to pray for you and with you as you stand here, that you will not only help others to find their wings, but that you too will spread your wings and fly. Let us pray. O gracious God, we know that no matter what hopes and dreams we may have, for our family, for our friends, or for those who come to be our family and friends in this place, we pray that those hopes and dreams will be the wings that lift, that carry forth, that make a difference in one life and then another and another, and eventually in the world. As these stand before you and before us, and even as we know that there are others in other places who will be doing the same kinds of things, we pray for them now. We pray for them individually, that their wings will be unfurled. We pray for them collectively, that they might put aside their own ambitions for the hopes and the dreams that you have to be shared with them and through them, with the children and the others who come, who seek to learn, or who come perhaps just wanting to get away from home for a few hours. May they find hopes and dreams. And may they learn that they too can spread their wings with your graciousness and your love. Touch these so that they may touch others for your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name that we pray for them and with them. Amen. Please be seated. I dream for you dreams, hopes beyond belief, lives of excitement and service for family, for friends, to keep your heart in tune. Pray in the morning, pray in the evening, and pray at noon. That is what Jesus calls us to do. To be near to the heart of God. A hymn of decision is hymn number 354. Near to the heart of God. As the song said a few moments ago, I dream for you these dreams and these hopes. God has hopes and dreams in God's heart for you and for me and for those who will come our way, not just this week, but in the weeks and the months and the years ahead. May they find us near to the heart of God, but may we also help them to find their way near God's heart as well. As we stand and sing in a moment, our invitation is very simple. If you have never made a public profession of Jesus as Lord and Savior, and feel led to do so this morning, we would welcome you, and our altar is open. If you would join with us in this place, as a place not only in which to worship and from which to serve, but a place in which to share dreams and hopes and life, our altar is open. If you feel a call to recommitment, our altar is open. Hymn number 354, Near to the Heart of God.